Baseball Tonight, the podcast.
This is the Baseball Tonight podcast for Thursday, July 23rd, 2020. Producing from his home studio in the foothills of Connecticut is Taylor Schwenk. I'm Buster Olney, working from my hotel room down in Washington, D.C., where tonight, opening day, the first day of baseball for 2020, and the ESPN will broadcast the first games, the Yankees versus the Nationals at 7 p.m. Eastern. Afterward, Giants against the Dodgers amid a lot of news. Yesterday, we learned that the right fielder for the Dodgers, Mookie Betts, is newly signed. Jeff Passan reports that Betts agreed to a 12-year, $365 million extension on top of the $27 million he was supposed to make this year in salary. A lot of this deal comes in the form of a massive signing bonus, and it contains deferred salary. This deal shocked a lot of people around the game, given its timing. I'll be talking about that with Jeff Passan coming up. Here was Mookie Betts yesterday in the press conference talking about looking forward to spending his whole career with the Dodgers.
It's obviously a special day, kind of what I've been working for my whole life. I've been a part of this, Everybody's been a part of this whole thing. This is the day that we've been dreaming about, and for it to come true is definitely a blessing. Super happy to be a part of this organization.
He talked about how the contract won't make him a leader.
I don't want to be any more than who I am. And you know, if it's set an example, then it's set an example. And if it's, you know, it's kind of falling in line, then it's falling in line. I'm not really overly concerned with having to step in and be a leader now. I'm here to win some rings, bring some rings back to LA. That's all I'm focused on.
So all is great with the Dodgers and for Mookie Betts, but not with the Toronto Blue Jays. The governor of Pennsylvania, Tom Wolf, turned down the plan that was to put together for the Blue Jays to play their home games in Pittsburgh. And so we don't know what's going to happen with the Jays. Several of their options, they could play their home games in Buffalo, but the major leaguers have said they would rather be in major league facilities. It's possible they could try to work something out with Baltimore or perhaps with Tampa Bay. But the same problem could arise that it did in Toronto and Pittsburgh. The governor of Maryland, for example, could turn down that request. And given the politics, there's no upside, no economic benefit for the state, plus the inherent risk. Or the Jays could wind up playing all their scheduled games on the road, so that if they're scheduled to play home games against the Red Sox or Yankees, they could play in Boston or New York as the road teams. We're going to be talking about the Blue Jays situation coming up with Jeff and with Marley Rivera. Major League Baseball and the Players Association are talking about expanding the playoff field for this year to 16 teams. We may get an announcement on that by the end of today. Garrett Cole was in Washington yesterday talking about his opening day jitters.
A lot. We're excited. It was a nice train ride. It's raining a little bit right now, but we're getting settled and getting acclimated to kind of the new environment. And yeah, I'm stoked. I'm already like having trouble sleeping. I'm so excited.
The words Black Lives Matter will be stenciled into the mound tonight and for other games. Major League Baseball will also allow players to sport a social justice message on their jersey for opening day. That, according to our Howard Bryant, the words United for Change and BLM are among the approved phrases to be written on jersey patches. Per Bryant, the Mets announced that right-hander Marcus Stroman has a calf injury and will open the season on the injured list. Christian Yelich has struggled in this summer camp, so this must have felt good against the White Sox.
One ball, one strike on Yelich. Ooh, that ball's hit well. Deep into left field, got a chance to go, and Yelich will send one out of here.
There you go.
Opposite field home run for Christian Yelich.
It's been a struggle for Christian in these the inner squad games here at Miller Park, but hey, you don't want to waste hits. No sense in getting hits in inner squad games. Get hot right when you have to. Lefty versus lefty. Fastball missed his spot, ended up middle in. Just takes it out of there to left field.
And tomorrow, Yelich will be playing in Wrigley Field against the Cubs. And it looks like Anthony Rizzo, who's had some back issues during this summer camp, he looked pretty good yesterday.
The next man up is Rizzo. Hat being held at first by Sano. Rizzo in the air to right, and it will go. That's a two-run homer for Anthony Rizzo, and the Cubs have the lead.
Anthony has had very good numbers against Homer Bailey in his career. This is a meaningless game, but still nice to see the big guy back in action and doing his thing. Line drive single by Hap, and then Rizzo follows with this bomb.
Mike Trout told reporters yesterday he is playing. He did make clear that when his first child's birth is imminent, he'll leave the team and then come back. Here was Mike Trout speaking with reporters yesterday.
Obviously, since last time I talked to you guys, you know, I was up in the air about playing. Obviously, I'm playing. It's definitely been great so far. I don't think we had any positives. We might have a couple early, but you know, guys been respectful of others. Everybody's taking responsibility to, you know, wear a mask and, you know, social distance and just be safe. And you know, we're seeing that the results are there. Just gotta pick it up and stay on it when we go on the road. You know, traveling, obviously people say that traveling you can get it. Going to different cities, going into the different cities where it's really, you know, bad right now, it's gonna be tough. So you know, as of right now, everything's great.
Before we get to Jeff and to Marley, if you want more Jeff Passan and more opening day talk, check out today's episode of ESPN Daily. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of the show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Buster. Just go to Indeed.com/Buster right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Buster. Terms and conditions apply. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, the clutch hits, the strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, 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 with nothing on your roof. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package.
Jeff Passan covers baseball for ESPN, and Jeff, yesterday was absolutely insane because we've got this opening day game down in Washington. I'm here, you're here for today. It's scheduled anyway. The weather forecast is not that great, but it's supposed to be opening day, and yet yesterday it felt like every 2 minutes there was some breaking story. And obviously, you had a hand in that with the news on Mookie Betts' contract. What was your reaction to that deal as you heard it?
Surprised, honestly, because it almost had been pounded into my head from people around baseball that, you know, Mookie Betts is going to go to free agency this offseason. He's going to sign a one-year, not even a make-good deal. It's almost like a pandemic deal. And he's going to emerge from that as good as he's ever been, and then he'll get his long-term contract. And that clearly was wrong. The Dodgers adore Mookie Betts, and Mookie Betts loves being a Dodger. And when those two things came together, it was just a matter of the right number being hit. And when the Dodgers hit the number, it was probably about 48 hours ago now, this thing turned into a fait accompli. And, you know, I got off the plane here in D.C. yesterday and had a text saying, hey, there's some smoke to this, or there's some fire to this Mookie smoke. And I was like, Mookie Smoke, what? You know, a lot of times, Buster, you know this, with contracts, we sort of have a sense that they're coming or when they're going to be coming. This one kind of came out of nowhere. And that's why I think the industry, as much as anyone, was shocked about it.
And there's no question that was the case. And look, Mookie, you know, great deal for him, phenomenal deal for him. And he's someone who potentially could hold his value into his mid, even his late 30s, because he's such a great defender. He's such a great base runner. So even if he has some offensive slides, he's going to hold his value. And the Dodgers have ridiculous amounts of money, so they'll be fine. A lot of the people I talked to yesterday in the industry were kind of, this deal raised eyebrows, and they were kind of wondering if the deal maybe had been well down the tracks pre-COVID shutdown. And that doesn't mean it was a finished deal, but that there had reached an understanding, because in the context that you just laid out, where right now we don't even know when the vaccine's coming. We don't know when they're going to be fans in the stands. Yep. You've got the labor agreement coming up. You know, the relationship between Major League Baseball and the Players Association is so ugly. People with other teams, to me, were saying, this deal makes no sense to sign right now, because you don't really know where the financial landscape is going. And again, great deal for Mookie. You know, the Dodgers are certainly not a team that's going to go poor, but there was a lot of that talk among other teams yesterday. I'm guessing you heard the same thing.
Yeah, this felt like pre-COVID money, right? This was the sort of thing that Mookie Betts could have expected to get before the pandemic hit. But no, this was not something that was agreed upon during the first spring training, and they just sat on it for months. I think it was 8 or 9 days ago now, the Dodgers went to Mookie Betts and said, we're going to make you an offer. And there were a bunch of iterations of this deal. You know, Mookie wasn't sure at one point whether it was even going to get done, but some of the specificity in the contract actually makes a lot of sense for both sides. There's $115 million of the $365 million in new money, Buster, that's deferred, but not an insignificant amount. And, you know, it brings the net present value of the deal down by 20-something million dollars. And there's also the fact that because it's spread out over 12 years, the average annual value of the deal is around $30 million or so dollars, which compared to Mike Trout's, you know, his extension was $36 million in average annual value. That's a, you know, that $5 or $6 million the Dodgers have shown that they are capable of taking money and making it work wonders. The crazy thing about this, though, is that when you look at what the Dodgers' future is like, you know, we can see all of the talent, you know, and the rotation, the fact that they can have Walker Buehler and Dustin May and Tony Gonsolin and Josiah Gray that in the field. Let's say Corey Seager leaves via free agency. They've still got Will Smith and Gavin Lux and Cody Bellinger and Mookie Betts. All of that talent, Buster, and they did not have a single penny committed beyond 2022 before Mookie Betts signed that deal. It's incredible the flexibility that the Dodgers have given themselves. And I hate making this comparison, but we talk about, you know, the Death Star, the evil empire in baseball. The Dodgers are the Death Star right now. They have won 7 consecutive National League West titles and show no sign of abating there anytime soon.
Yeah, I think at the time they made the David Price deal, and I don't know exactly what Andrew Friedman gets as the head of baseball operations for the Dodgers in salary, but I think at the time of that deal that the greatest obligation in the Dodgers baseball operations department was to Andrew Friedman and not actually to a player. So they certainly had the flexibility. And look, you can do worse than being obligated long term to paying Mookie Betts and Cody Bellinger as a foundation for your lineup. You wrote about this morning about the impact on other players. And if you're the union, you are popping champagne corks that at least begin to reset, you know, potentially the framework of what the market's going to be coming up. Now, he's an outlier, obviously. I think a lot of the journeyman players are going to get absolutely destroyed. But for guys like George Springer, who now might be the most coveted player in the market going into the winter, this is a big win.
Yeah. And, I went through, as I was writing this piece, the next five free agent classes. And so, in that last one, you've got guys like Pete Alonso, Fernando Tatis, who were rookies last year, Juan Soto, Gleyber Torres, Austin Meadows, Victor Robles. And I did this because I wanted to see what the actual number of frontline impact guys are, because I never want to read too much into one contract having a cascading effect. You know that Mookie Betts is a truly special player, and trying to take what he got and assign it to other guys probably isn't fair. And in doing this, it really illustrated, Buster, how many players that are elite have given away their free agency and how few frontline guys there actually are. You know, you've got George Springer, and Marcus Semien played himself potentially into that category last year. The class of 2021-22 has a chance to be one of those bonanza free agent years with Francisco Lindor and Javier Baez, Trevor Story, Carlos Correa, Chris Bryant, Corey Seager, Nolan Arenado could opt out. But you look at 2022-23, the two standout guys, top end guys, Aaron Judge and Trey Turner. 23 and 24, there's Cody Bellinger, the two Oakland A's corner guys, Matt Chapman and Matt Olson, and Rafael Devers. Aside from those guys who I just named, there's really nobody who's in that upper echelon who may go and command, $200 million-plus dollars. And considering how much talent there is these days in baseball, it's staggering the number of guys who have given away some of those prime free agent years. And that's why Mookie Betts, I think, waited as long as he did. It's not just because he knew that it was going to be to his financial benefit, and it was really to his financial benefit to wait as long as he did and go and sign that deal. It's because I think he felt an obligation to the guys who are holding out and who are trying to maximize the money that they get and to really take advantage of what frontline players can be in this game.
Yeah, I tell friends this all the time. I think Mookie Betts doesn't really care that much about money, money per se. In the same way, I don't think Trout does. I don't think Kershaw really does. I think they've already, each of them have already made far more money than they're actually going to spend in their lifetime. But they do understand, Mookie understands his value to the union and its financial structure. That was a big win for them. What's going to happen with the Toronto Blue Jays?
They're going to play, I think. I honestly am so confounded by this that it has gotten to this point where baseball is starting, Buster, and a team does not know where it's going to play its home games. And maybe Oriole Park at Camden Yards is the ultimate destination. Maybe they turn into the Road Warriors and they're just out there every day on the road. Essentially they're going to be on the road anyway, right? Like, they're not in Toronto, but I just feel like there's something to being able to go back to a hotel where you have clothes hanging and you take your road bag and you go out for a week and then you go back to the hotel in whatever city you're in and crash. I think it's going to be something like 8 or 9 more flights that they would have to take if they're on the road the whole time, or maybe bus trips. Who knows what it's going to look like? I was talking with a Blue Jays player, and he said quite simply, whatever it looks like, it's going to suck. And that's just that's what the Blue Jays are readying for at this point, a year of suck.
And they have become the hot potato that no federal official or state official really wants. I mean, that's what happened in the end up in Canada. The federal government stepping in saying, look, we're not going to be the ones who invite, people coming from states that have spiking coronavirus numbers into the country. That's what the governor of Pennsylvania said. I wouldn't be shocked if the governor of Maryland at some point also became that bottleneck. And quite frankly, when they talk about this, you know, idea that, well, you know what, the Blue Jays can be the home team in Yankee Stadium, or they can be the home team in Fenway Park. Are we sure that those those states' governors are necessarily going to go along with that? I kind of wonder if in the end, I know the players aren't wild about the idea. They don't like it at all about having Buffalo as their home ballpark. But yeah. Yep. To what you're talking about, you know, that idea of being on the road every single day and getting on a flight every 3 days, every 4 days, I wonder if in the end Buffalo might be the best place for them to be.
I think that you're probably right. But I also think they're looking for, you know, we saw this a few years ago in the last collective bargaining agreement, how important creature comforts are to players. Like, you know, we joke about the whole second seat on the spring training bus thing, and it's turned into like a sort of meme inside baseball circles. But there's some veracity to the idea that players want what's comfortable to them. And what's comfortable to them is something like hot and cold tubs. What's comfortable to them is something like reasonable sized clubhouses. And these are the things that amid the pandemic brings some sort of normalcy to them. This is already such an abnormal year that it's almost like they're reaching out, trying to grasp for something that anchors them to what they once knew. And when they're playing games at a AAA facility, and don't get me wrong, Salem Field, like, good AAA facility. It was built with the intention of being expanded eventually to a full-on major league sized and quality ballpark. Didn't happen, but it's certainly a good spot. But, man, there's just a feeling among the players, I think, like, we're big leaguers. We spent our time at AAA. We want to be in a big league park.
Later today, we might get the official word from Major League Baseball and the Players Association. They've expanded their playoff field for 2020 to 16. Mm-hmm. And Jeff, this seems to make all the sense in the world, especially in 2020.
It does. And I wish they had done it sooner and didn't wait until the eve of the season, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but hey, welcome to life in Major League Baseball, where things are much more complicated than they necessarily have to be. And, you know, part of me, Buster, looks at expanded playoffs, and I'm not the guy who sits here and says I'm yearning for how things used to be or the game was better back in the day. But watered down playoffs is weird to me. It's, you know, I know that an 83 and 79 Cardinals team won a World Series. I know that an 82 and 80 Padres team won a division, but it's still weird, this idea that there's going to be teams around 500 that have a chance of knocking off a team that in a normal season is going to have played 162 games better than anyone else in the league. And the second that happens, especially like if the Yankees, you know, the same thing with the Buster Posey rule, guys could get their knees torn up as catcher, but until it happened to a star, nobody really paid attention. If the Yankees end up getting knocked out by an 8 seed in a 3-game series, oh boy, that is not going to go over well. But the consequences, And consequences in a positive fashion, I mean, of the 100 or of the 16 game playoffs, I think ultimately will be good. I like the fact that it's going to juice free agency because more teams are going to feel like they're in it. The one negative consequence beyond the watering down of the playoff field that really worries me, Buster, is the trade deadline. I feel like this has a chance to absolutely kill the trade deadline. If you've got 20, 22, 24 teams that feel like they're in playoff contention, the amount of supply that's going to be out there on the trade market is going to be drastically reduced. And it feels like trades, free agent signings, all of the transactional stuff is as beloved by fans these days as the games themselves. And so to manipulate that market and to make it that much harder to make a trade, I think could have a pretty devastating negative effect.
And although this agreement would only be for 2020, I think we can safely say that as with the universal DH, as with the effort to truncate extra innings, this is a preview of future rules. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, when you put this on the table, you have to bargain to take it off. And I don't think anybody is going to be taking away something that's potentially worth hundreds of millions of dollars.
Two more quick ones for you. Yesterday, we get the official word from Joe Maddon that Anthony Rendon is going to be out at the start of the season. Marcus Stroman goes on the injured list with a calf injury for the Mets. And it's just a reminder to me, Jeff, I feel like there's no such thing as a minor injury in 2020. Like the loss for the Mets of Marcus Stroman is a huge deal.
It is. I mean, it already felt like the Mets, you know, coming into the season after Noah Syndergaard needed Tommy John surgery, we're just hexed. And the fact that Marcus Stroman goes down now is, it's so Mets of them. Like, it really is. And you feel for Mets fans, they have been waiting and waiting and waiting and hoping that at very least they could get rewarded with one playoff run for the Robinson Cano trade. You know, there's a Mets fan, diehard Mets fan that I know. And I probably hear from him 3 times a week, just asking about Jared Kelenic and talking about how stupid that trade was and how they doubled down going out and getting Marcus Stroman. And man, if the Mets, at the end of these last couple of seasons that Brody Van Wagenen's been running the club, do not end up with a playoff spot, those trades are going to go down. The Kelenic trade already probably is going down in infamy, but to play for the short term, and I'm all for teams that are trying to go for it now. I love that idea, but when it doesn't work out, man, does it look rough.
And it'll look really rough if they don't make the playoffs this year in a 16-team field, assuming that's where we get to by the end of today. And last one, yesterday on the Nationals Zoom call, I asked Sean Doolittle, who was very critical of the in the early stages of this effort, how his feelings about it had evolved. And it was unequivocal. He basically said, yeah, I feel a lot better about it because he sees the players invested in each other, invested in the health and safety protocol. Among the players you speak to, what do you hear about how they're feeling about this as we get started?
Were you the one that asked that question? Because I saw that quote on Twitter. Isn't it great when you ask a question and it gets a great answer? No better feeling than that. And I saw that answer. And you're right. Sean Doolittle had been about as outspoken as any ball player on the subject. And so and here's the thing, he's not the type of guy either who's going to say something publicly to make the sport look good. Like, he is as honest and as forthcoming as it gets. So when he says, I feel comfortable with this, I feel good about it, it's a really good sign for baseball. And I think that over the last couple weeks, there has been an evolving feeling that they're getting it right for the most part. I also reported yesterday that almost every team is going to be getting a point of care coronavirus testing machine, which is a rapid response. You get the results in 15 minutes. And so if somebody shows up symptomatic, you can test them. If there's results coming in late from the previous day's tests, you can test people. So what they're doing is they're evolving on the fly. And if this season is going to continue, Buster, if this season is going to be seen through to its end, which I'm not there at this point, there are still so many different landmines to avoid. But, hey, we're at opening day. And I think this is a lot farther than a lot of folks thought they were going to get to. And the fact that somebody like Sean Doolittle is saying, hey, we feel like this is working, at very least in the short term, it's a good sign for baseball.
100%. Put me at that top of the list. You know, it's great that they got to this point. All right. Thanks, Jeff. I'll see you at the park later.
All right, Buster. Look forward to it, buddy. Take care.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code BASEBALL. That's code BASEBALL. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Marley Rivera covers baseball for ESPN. And Marley, I saw you tweeting out earlier pictures of I think it was a field in Washington, or was that a field in New York that you tweeted out this morning?
That was Nationals Park yesterday, Buster. Obviously, we still haven't been allowed to the ballpark, as you well know.
Right.
But yeah. That was the only time yesterday afternoon when it was clear before the skies opened up and the Yankees had to bang their workout.
And we're obviously hoping, fingers crossed, that we'll be able to get the game in tonight with weather. The forecast is there's definitely some concern about it, but we'll see where that goes. Now that we're here, what do you think? It's the opening day, because I mean, the beginning of this, I gave it a 5% chance to get to opening day. But as we heard from Sean Doolittle yesterday, a lot of players feeling like their peers are taking the health and safety protocol seriously.
I think that was the X factor, right, Buster? We had talked about the reason why we, and you and I were on board with that. We both were in agreement that it was going to be very, very difficult to get to this day, to get to the point where we are right now. And one of the things that we had accounted for was personal responsibility. And the fact that, because we have seen across the United States how personal responsibility has become a fight, it has become partisan. It isn't about health and safety anymore. And we were a little worried about that. We were worried about the fact that thousands of people that are involved in baseball, it's not hundreds, it's thousands. Everyone needs to be accountable with each other in order to get to this day. And it happened. And you know what? You know, I'm the first one who, you know, I'm very pro player and like to hammer Major League Baseball every once in a while. They did a good job. They actually did. The process is getting better of testing. And we are here today. The hardest part is finding that balance. We are here. It is wonderful news that we have something to look forward to and something to hope for, but we have to be very realistic, and we know who is throwing that first pitch tonight. And the only reason why Dr. Anthony Fauci is throwing that pitch tonight, I mean, hopefully he would have done it at some point in his life and in his career, is because of his handling of a coronavirus pandemic. So it certainly is a very, very unique opening day.
And Max Scherzer on the Zoom call yesterday talked about how appropriate it was that he would be the guy throwing out the first pitch in 2020. And on top of that, you know, I'm sure he'll have his Washington Nationals face mask as well.
Yes.
Max, not surprisingly, sounded really excited. I know you heard Garrett Cole yesterday. He was really excited. I do. You know, that to me is going to be one of the interesting parts of today is the adrenaline. On our Zoom call, I asked Max about, you know, what has he learned about how much he uses the crowd in his adrenaline? And he said, you know, it's an unknown generally, you know, the factor of not having fans in the stands. He said, I'm going to be prepared to pitch either way. But I get the feeling, at least for this game, that's not going to be a factor.
What's been interesting is that the Yankees have put forward this image, which you and I have talked about in the podcast before, of just being united and being unfazed by the situation. I'm not saying this in a callous manner. What they are saying, for example, in terms of the no fans out there, manager Aaron Boone said clearly, he said, we want to use that to our advantage. Now, let's say what they're saying. They're not saying we prefer there not being fans, but it's precisely what you said, Buster. Aaron Boone said, the people, the fans, you know, are necessary for us, but they are not the reason why you should perform to the best of your ability every single day. It is your professional. It is your competitive nature. And you have to be there, right? Because it is your job to do your best to make your team win. And then Aaron said, you know what? We can use that as a competitive advantage because the players that can handle it the best, the players that can, you know, get that energy and that motivation and find it inside themselves because it is not going to be out there, those are the players that are going to perform the best this season, including if they stay healthy.
And that's exactly what Max said. He said the best source of adrenaline is the competition. And, if you've seen him go through his workouts with nobody around out in the bullpen in full uniform, you know, that's how Max thinks.
Buster, this is the perfect matchup. I mean, these two guys are almost like the same person, right? This obsession with detail and being the best. And absolutely, and trust me, and you know that neither Scherzer nor Cole, you're going to need anyone out there to be amped up tonight.
Scale of 1 to 10, how excited is Gerrit Cole?
20. It's incredible. I mean, we've talked about it, right? This is 13 years in the making. I mean, all we have to go back is to 2008 when this young man was Orange Luther in high school and the Yankees dropped that 28th pick. Buster, and that number 28 is very curious because that's precisely what Hal Steinbrenner opened up the checkbook for. So they've been, Brian Cashman called Gerrit Cole his white whale. He has been pursuing him, right, for all these 13 years, and he's finally going to be in pinstripes, and it's going to be really interesting to see him up there. He said, I can't sleep. I'm so excited.
Before you go, what's the latest you hear on the Blue Jays situation? You done reporting on it? It's
like one of those things. Homeless Blue Jays? Do we call them the homeless
Minute
Blue Jays?
Minute to minute, hour to hour.
A little bit of a joke now. As a lot of people know, I'm very close friends with Charlie Montoyo, the manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, and he tells me we're trying to come up with a name. So as of right now, there was some of the Road Warriors. There's another one that says the Traveling Road Show. So there's been quite a few for the Blue Jays. But, I put this out there today, Buster. Talk about hiring, and I know he's my friend, so I cannot be objective. Let's be very clear. But talk about hiring the perfect person for this situation. Charlie Montoyo is one of the most prepared, spent over 30 years in the minor leagues. And this is this guy who is a hustler. He has grit, and he is the most upbeat personality that is so darn annoying. When you're around Charlie, you can't help but feel happy. And talk about a team that needs to be happy right now.
Yeah, exactly. What's your best guess as to what happens?
I think it's going to be a combination because Tampa Bay had been the location they had been considering before they left spring training 1.0, whatever we're calling this now. Before they left spring training, we know that Dunedin, right, their new ballpark, they wanted to do a combination of minor league ballpark and major league ballpark with the Tampa Bay Rays. I do think it's going to be some sort of combination with Tropicana Field.
All right. Marley, thanks for doing this. I'll see you at the ballpark later.
Absolutely. We shall see you there. And hopefully you and I can see each other in person, 6 feet away. But obviously the rest of them we're going to see on TV or over Zoom.
Bleacher Tweets.
Alrighty, Buster. Bleacher Tweets for Thursday. The first set of Bleacher Tweets for the regular season. And I wanted to throw a number at you real quick. Since the season was suspended back on March 13th, or at least that's when we reacted to it. I don't remember specifically, but we have done 93 podcasts since then. So hats off to you, man. Hats off to this little operation we got going, because that is that's a grind. So I'm happy to be talking games day. This is awesome.
Well, nice job with all that. I didn't realize it was that many. You just do what you got to do. Right. Take it one day at a time.
Gritty podcast over here. Just a couple guys with our lunch pails getting to work every morning. Let's close it up for today with Regina Wilson at Margarita Noir. She writes in, will the Betts deal change the landscape for other teams who have a chance to negotiate their pending free agents? I'm thinking specifically of the Phillies with Real Muto. It seems harder now to argue that the free agent market will be depressed.
I think it's going to be very depressed for a lot of players, but if you were the agent for JT yesterday, you are excited. you are fired up that this is going to happen. Now, as I said to Jeff, folks with other teams are wondering if this deal was down the tracks before the COVID shutdown. So we'll have to wait and see whether or not the Phillies actually respond and look at JT as being on, somewhere down the scale from where Mookie is. But yeah, it certainly begins to at least restore some of the framework in the financial landscape, whatever that's going to be moving forward.
Next up, we got a couple questions here from Ernesto Cedillo at ERNYC377. He says, MLB owners in May, June. Hey, we're broke. Give us money back. MLB owners in July. Hey, Mookie, here's $380 million. Is it just me, or does juxtaposing those two statements just show how hypocritical owners are? He follows up with, does Mookie Betts huge contract change your mind about George Springer's future earning? To me, it says the top of the top will still get theirs, and the older declining veterans will continue to get lowballed.
Yeah, Ernesto, I think you're right. I think the guys who are the best free agents, this coming up offseason, Marcus Semien and George Springer and JT, they're going to do fine. Like, I don't know if they would get what, for example, George should have been a free agent last fall if his service time hadn't been manipulated. I don't know if he's going to make that kind of money, but he'll do absolutely fine. And yeah, some of the people I heard from other teams were saying yesterday, like, if you're one of those employees on the Dodgers who took a big pay cut, or if you're an employee on another team who's been let go, you're looking at that Mookie Betts contract going, really?
Be a little bit bitter. Definitely a little salty. Last one for today, Brian Simpson at BSimp120274 writes in, listening to your encounter with Sean Doolittle, the players sound pretty skittish. Here in Texas, the Rangers are giving tours of the new ballpark in the mornings at 10 a.m. Will having these outsiders in the park make the players more nervous?
I think that if that were to happen, where they were to be in eyesight of the players, I bet you the players would be asking questions. And just to be clear about Sean, I don't think Sean was skittish with me. I just think that's kind of where we are in 2020. When you walk up to somebody you haven't seen before, you're in the same, you're in the same room. You have your old habits of how you greet each other, and those habits go away. I don't know, Taylor, if you've had this experience that I've had, where I have old friends and I'll see them, and some of them are socially distancing, and other ones start to move toward you, and you like back up.
Yeah, for sure.
I think, that's kind of what that encounter was the other day.
Yeah, all of my neighbors are a little bit older, and they definitely keep their distance. No questions asked. We don't even say anything about it. And it's funny, we're always yelling at each other and having to repeat what we say. I yell at my neighbors across our little way here on their back patio. And that's about as close as we get. So I get it.
Yeah. And I've said to my closest neighbors, who are older, I'm like, I am not going to be the reason why you get sick. So stay the heck away. Well, that's it for today. My thanks to Marley, to Jeff, to Taylor. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. Enjoy opening night. And remember, hate and inequality based on skin color is something we must fight against every day.
Thanks for listening to the Baseball Tonight podcast. If you're playing fantasy baseball, don't forget to listen to the Fantasy Focus podcast. Check out all podcasts at ESPN.com/podcenter. Baseball Tonight, the podcast.